Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Apologies for the slightly late start on this live stream. Of course, we just had some breaking news. Elon Musk has filed Form 4s this evening, indicating sales of Tesla stock over the first couple of days this week, as well as on Friday. So we'll talk about that. We've also got a lot of news out of China today in terms of October numbers, as well as another incentive that Tesla has added for the sale of Tesla vehicles. And we do have other news items as well. So we'll start off with the stock, of course, today down about 3% to $191.30. Now with the benefit of hindsight, we can see big reason for the underperformance over the last few days has been Elon Musk selling. So this is just coming in. Hopefully we've got all the Form 4s by the time I'm recording here, but we can see we've got four Form 4s here. One of these actually from Zach Kirkhorn, and then three from Elon. So I put together the... Or here we can see the Form 4s. You can see the sales on November 4th. This was the entirety of those sales. But just to quickly see all this together, I've put these into Excel. That's why I was getting a little bit of a late start on this, as this was just coming out. But we can see the sales over the 3 days. So on November 4th, he sold about 10 million shares for just over $2 billion. On Monday, he sold about he sold about 5 million shares for just over $1 billion. And then today sold about 4.4 million shares for $843 million. So provided my math is all correct on this, which I was rushing, so it's possible that there's an error in here, but I'm coming to 19.5 million shares sold for just under $4 billion. So we've been talking about this. We've been talking about how much Elon may still have left in terms of need for Twitter. We've talked about numbers in the $4 to $6 billion range. Looks like we're now at that $4 billion. So with these sales over the last 3 days, usually what we see from Elon is that he'll sell before it needs to be disclosed. So you've got kind of 3 days to do that before, of course, the form needs to be filed. So now we're seeing that here this evening. So you got Friday, Monday, Tuesday. Forms need to be filed on Tuesday, presumably. That would mean that this was all Elon needed to sell, and that's, you know, where he is at. So let's see. Just making sure that we're not missing anything here. I'm going to just pull up Elon's Twitter and see if he's mentioned anything, because sometimes he will tend to do that when these sales are done. It doesn't look like anything here on that yet. So let's go back. So my assumption is that he is now done with this. Again, I think this is a clear reason for the underperformance over the last few days. I think there's been uncertainty since the Twitter deal has closed with where that extra little bit would be coming from. Hopefully now this answers that uncertainty. I'm sure Tesla investors aren't going to be super thrilled with this, but you know, hopefully we're now through this period of time and we can at least move on to the concerns that we were having before even having these sales. So I don't know that I have much else to say on it, but you know, again, I think hopefully we're moving through this period of time that has been tumultuous, that has been frustrating for everybody. Hopefully we get through these midterm elections, and that, regardless of how things go, should add some certainty to the markets, should reduce conflict, as you know, it heightens around election time as people are trying to, you know, win votes for their own sides and things like that. So my hope is that we get into more of a period of stability here, with hopefully now all of the selling done for Elon Musk's acquisition of Twitter. You know, knock on wood a little bit there, because there could still be a little bit more. I doubt it. And then, of course, there is going to be the persisting fear about the possibility if Elon needs to continue to sell Tesla over time to provide funding for Twitter, especially with the amount of debt that Twitter has taken on and Elon's messages about advertisers potentially leaving the platform. So that's going to continue to be a question mark for quite some period of time. It's not a question that I am too worried about, but you know, that's just kind of my thoughts on it. So the other Form 4 that we had here from Zach, inconsequential, 3,700 shares. This was a pre-adopted trading plan, as we usually see from Zach, from July 29th. So these, he does this pretty consistently, just selling shares to supplement the relatively low salary that he does receive. Next thing we've got here, just a quick one, kind of start off with in terms of other Tesla news, and then I'll probably come back for some more questions at the end here, just because we've got a lot here today. But the recall today, so 40,000 vehicles. This is an over-the-air fix from Tesla. So this is for Model S and X vehicles. Basically, with firmware version 2022.36, they changed some of the calibration values for their electronic power assistance steering. With that, they noticed some unexpected steering assist torques that were being that were happening on vehicles. So about a week later, they identified that and started rolling out a firmware release to revert the old those calibration values to the old values, meaning that there was no longer an issue. So basically released this update, noticed some problems that it was causing with power assisted steering, and then released another update to revert it. So any potential issues were just there for a week. I think 97% or something like that of the fleet has already updated to the new version. Of the affected fleet, rather, has already been updated to the new version. So pretty inconsequential in terms of recalls. Obviously, Tesla just fixing it over the air. All right, next here, we've got a couple of reports on China. So first, we're going to talk about the domestic and export numbers. We had previously talked about the wholesale sales number. So we can see that down here, the CPCA confirming today what we'd already talked about, 71,700 wholesale sales, which is, of course, exports plus retail or domestic sales for the month. The export number did come in at 54,500. So that's a little bit higher than what we had speculated on based on the insurance numbers. Those had come in at about 17,000, but that was missing 3 days. And sometimes those don't correlate perfectly with the domestic sales anyway. But if we look at our chart here, you can see this now updated with those retail and export numbers. So 17,000, again, a little bit lower, but still high for the first month of a quarter, not a record, but still higher than what we see typically. And then that 54,000 export number, I believe that is, yeah, looks like that is a record here as well. So definitely a good first month of the quarter. I would have preferred, just with the uncertainty in China, to see the retail sales be a bigger percent of the split. But, you know, there were some speculation that Tesla had some sort of cap at, you know, 45,000 or something like that for exports. Never really understood that speculation, but I guess, you know, this kind of defeats that speculation at least. But still the big question mark, of course, is going to be production. I'd certainly hope for a number above 80,000. Usually we get the production number by now too. I haven't received that yet. I don't know when that will come. Hopefully it's just delayed by a day or something like that. But as soon as I do see or receive that production number, I'll let you guys know, and certainly we'll spend more time talking about it because that is probably more important. We do also have the updated insurance numbers for the first week of November here. So October 31st through November 6th, 11,195 vehicles insured in China. So if we look at our little chart here that started compiling just for the last few weeks, we can see that this has continued to rise. We should expect that continue to rise if we extrapolate this number throughout the entirety of November, even including no continued increases. Obviously, that would be in the 40,000-50,000 range. So hopefully we'll see a domestic sales number like that for November, which if we go back to our numbers, that would look like a pretty solid record for the second month of the quarter. Or if we look at combination, the first 2 months should also be a record from that regard as well. But obviously still early here, and we still have a few weeks to go in November to see how those end up shaking out. All right, now getting into kind of the main thing I want to talk about with China today. We have news that Tesla has re-implemented an insurance bonus for the sale of Tesla vehicles. So from November 8th through December 31st, Tesla vehicles will be eligible for up to an 8,000 RMB or about $1,100 bonus if those vehicles also purchase insurance. Doesn't need to be Tesla insurance. It just needs to be one of the insurance institutes cooperating with Tesla on their vehicles. So if the customer purchases insurance, they can be eligible for up to 8,000 RMB, which again, $1,100. Now that 8,000, that's only applicable through November 30th. Then from December 1st to December 31st, that gets cut in half to 4,000 RMB or about $550. So this is pretty bad news, I think, in terms of, not necessarily even in terms of Tesla, but just in terms of the general market right now. I mean, we've heard Tesla talk on the third quarter earnings call about how demand in China has been a little bit softer. Elon saying, you know, it's softer than what it would normally be. They're experiencing a bit of a recession right now. I think what we're seeing here is that playing out. It's a little bit concerning because of the fact that we just seen the price decreases about 2 weeks ago. And this is following that move, which could be indicative that Tesla has not received the amount of orders that they expected or hoped for from that price cut, to then 2 weeks later layer on an additional incentive. And we saw the incentive at the end of Q3 when they did this as well, which that was also an early indicator that, you know, hey, maybe these domestic sales aren't going to be what we maybe would have hoped. Tesla, of course, taking, as we've talked about, in my view, kind of taking advantage of that bit of a demand pocket there to take the opportunity to kind of unwind the wave. But as they continue to do that, we still need to sell a lot of vehicles in China. And this is, you know, possibly indicating that demand is a little bit weaker than what Tesla had hoped after those price cuts. Those price cuts are already, I think, having a pretty big impact on where Tesla is right now. I think that's a bigger deal to investors and should be a bigger deal to investors than, you know, what Elon's tweeting about. Obviously, Elon selling stock is going to affect the stock during that period of time that he's doing that. But I think even on top of that, this would be a bigger concern. You know, when we're trying to think long term, thinking about where Tesla's going this year, next year, not necessarily just like the next few days, this is much more important in that regard than anything that's going on with Twitter, in my opinion. So this is a problem with live streams, guys, but I think it's what we're seeing here in terms of China. So we've got the price cuts, right? 5%. That's, you know, $250 million hit to gross profit, like we had talked about before. If we continue to see Tesla have to add these incentives or have to further lower prices, what comes into question when analysts are making their model is where Tesla's margins go, right? What have we already seen the peak margins at 30%? If those then have to decline to 25% or 20% or something like that to hit the required sales to keep up with Tesla's rapidly growing production, that pretty dramatically changes forward earnings estimates. I've talked about this before. I think that Tesla's cost control and cost reductions over time are going to outweigh those things, but it's going to inject uncertainty into the market. And like I said at the beginning, it's not even necessarily just uncertainty about Tesla, but it's uncertainty about China. That uncertainty is going to extend to Europe as Tesla is continuing to dramatically grow production. Sure, right now they can be in a period of time where they can export tons and tons of vehicles, but then when Giga Berlin ramps up, okay, Berlin should take on some of that responsibility. And then where do these vehicles go? If they're not being able to be sold in China at these prices, if Tesla has to then continue to cut prices, that's where it calls into question what ultimately gross margin ends up being next year, ultimately earnings per share ends up being next year. And as analysts see these price reductions, these incentives added on top of an already shaky macro environment, that's a cause for concern from investors. So again, I share a little bit of that concern, but I think that Tesla, you know, I think within that concern, what's underrepresented or underappreciated is Tesla's ability to reduce costs alongside those things and maintain a very healthy margin, grow volume at rates better than expected by the market, and ultimately results in higher earnings per share than what is expected. So that's where I come from. But at the same time, you would love to have Tesla be able to do all those things and, you know, ideally not have to lower prices and just continue to capture more and more margin. So it's pulling the bull numbers back in a little bit. It's increasing the validity of more of a bearish outlook for next year whenever we see indicators like this. And that's going to affect where the stock trades, regardless of what ends up happening in that future point in time. So I feel like I'm talking a little bit too much on this, but doing my best to kind of make my points clear on that. Not sure I've fully accomplished that, but I suppose we'll move on for now. And again, we'll circle back and maybe hit some questions. All right, new Tesla feature today. So Zoom at their Zoomtopia event today. shared a video and made a bit of an announcement that they will be partnering with Tesla to be bringing Zoom into the Tesla vehicles as an app, similar to what we see from Spotify and things like that. So they released a little bit of a video here showing how this feature will eventually work. It will use the center cabin camera right above the rear view mirror. So we can watch their little demo here. And you can kind of see the person's just sort of like leaning in over from the side, trying to get in view of the cabin camera. It's not probably going to be the best Zoom experience, but hey, it's better than nothing for sure. And always fun to see Tesla adding new features. It'll probably really be the first feature that we've got accessing that center cabin camera. So, you know, it's pretty low quality here, but you can kind of see a little bit what that might look like in terms of the Zoom presentation. So interesting to see that added. No real other details on when this is going to be coming from Zoom. They just said it was coming soon. We don't really know a whole lot about how or when it's going to be integrated, but we'll have to keep an eye out for that. Next, we've got an update on Tesla's investor relations team. So institutionalinvestor.com annually ranks institutional, or they do institutional investor surveys, and then they rank companies and company individuals based on the results of those surveys. So one of those results is the best investor relations program. Tesla has been rated the top investor relations program in the autos and autos parts sector. So you can see here, Tesla combined rating from the buy side and the sell side, ranking number one. Now they are competing with General Motors and Ford here. So this is the first time Tesla has achieved this, which is, you know, a great sign for companies that have these pretty robust investor relations teams that have been doing this for a long time. Tesla, obviously a newer player with a much smaller team, just two people in the investor relations team at Tesla. So for them to be outperforming, although we look at the names on the list and maybe it's expected, is still very impressive. We also see Elon Musk as the best CEO in the automotive industry. Not sure when this survey was taken. Maybe things would change a little bit given recent events in terms of the survey results on this. But again, competing with General Motors and Ford. Interesting, Mary Barra above Jim Farley here. Again, just survey from institutional investors, but that probably would not match my rankings personally. Zach Kirkhorn also getting best CFO, which is very exciting to see as well. So kudos to Tesla for that. And then next up here, we've got an update from Elon, just a quick one on Twitter here. So given all the reporting about people, you know, canceling Twitter, kind of ironic given what Elon is pushing back against, but a lot of reports about people leaving Twitter and things like that, with Elon Musk being the owner now. Elon shared last night the monetizable daily active user numbers over the last couple of months. And we can see that since Elon has acquired Twitter, it's continued to increase. So these are global. And this is the United States. Looks like it's grown probably, you know, 2 to 4%, probably a little bit more in the United States over the last couple of weeks since Elon has owned Twitter. So that's a good sign, especially if you have concern about Elon continuing to perpetually being selling Tesla stock. The more monetizable daily active users for Twitter, the better for their capability, obviously, to monetize the service. All right, next we've got a report, the Q3 earnings report from Lucid. So we'll just run through this pretty quick, but they have lost $500 million in the second quarter. They have reiterated their guidance for the year, somewhere between 6,000 and 7,000 vehicles produced. Their free cash flow was negative $850 million. So they're now sitting on just $3.9 billion versus at the end of the year, they were at about $6.3 billion available. So they are, you know, working down. They say that they've got enough cash to fund their liquidity through at least the fourth quarter of next year. But today they did also announce that they are going to be raising about $1.5 billion through an at-the-money or at-the-market options terminology breaking in there, through an at-the-market program, which is exactly what we saw Tesla do, you know, a year or two ago when they raised $5 billion, I think a couple of times. They did that at-the-market offering, so basically just going to the market, selling shares, and taking in the dollars from that. So they're going to do $600 million of that. I don't know the exact dates here, but basically opening up the window to do that. And then they're also going to be selling up to $915 million to the Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund. So $1.5 billion there in total that they'll be raising. Their market cap after reporting earnings today should be around $20 billion. Still pretty high, but probably about a 7% dilution figure for Lucid. Also on Lucid, they are having an event about a week from now, so November 15th, to announce something. They say it's a Lucid launch event. I'm not sure what that is, but we'll keep an eye out for that. All right, let's circle back around, and I'll keep an eye on some questions here and just want to make sure that we don't have any additional information on Elon, because again, this is coming out right as I set up to record the episode for today. All right, so no more Form 4s, and let me just take a look at the chat here, see what thoughts we've got. I do kind of want to revisit the China stuff just because I feel like I didn't execute my presentation on that very well. I guess I would just kind of reiterate that when there are things like price cuts or bonuses that are applied, usually that implies lower demand, and that raises concern about margins. I think people expect Tesla to be able to sell what they can produce, but you know, right now Tesla's producing, let's say, 450,000 vehicles per quarter. To justify Tesla's valuation, they've got to at least probably double that. Like, our valuation's getting pretty low here, so the required growth isn't all that crazy from where we're at right now. But that's the question that comes up is, you know, okay, they've got Giga Berlin going, they've got Texas going, Shanghai's going, Fremont's going, that's all great. But right now we're going from a period of time where Tesla's producing, you know, 1.5 million vehicles, now up to 2 million. And if we have to get them up to 4 million, what kind of changes in pricing does that require? And the price cuts that we've seen in China, the incentive that we're seeing layered on here immediately following a price cut, that raises the red flag on what the ultimate pricing is going to have to be to sustain that level of production and demand. So that's, you know, calls into questions earnings forecast for next year, gross margin forecast for next year. And that's obviously going to hurt the stock. So like I've said, costs, Tesla will bring them down, and it's ultimately going to be still a very healthy margin, I think. And we're just going to have to kind of see that play out. So that's one side of it. And then the other side of it is this just reflects poorly on the international economy, I think. Tesla still makes a very compelling vehicle. I think it's a good value in China at the prices that it's at right now. I think relative to competition, it's very competitive. So while Tesla may have to do this, they can easily afford to, even if it's not looking ideal from a, you know, margin perspective compared to what we've had historically from Shanghai. Maybe that gets compressed a little bit. Other people don't have necessarily that room to get compressed. So if that starts happening where, you know, Tesla's getting compressed, as we've talked about, other companies are starting to get compressed even more, and that's going to lead to, you know, all sorts of challenges in the automotive marketplace. So while people might have concern for Tesla, it's definitely more concerning for others. All right, let's see. Well, I appreciate you all bearing through the live stream here. It's a little bit tougher when it's some last minute information. Not seeing a lot of questions, so hopefully that's clear. All right, we'll wrap it up there then. We can always talk more about tomorrow, so if you have other questions on what's going on or my thoughts right now, just leave them in the comment section today. But as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter @TeslaPodcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, November 9th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.